Bannerbox Radio, because I'm worth it. Hey, what's going on, folks? Welcome back to Banterbox Radio. Good Lord, this is episode 39 for this fine Novembre, the 24, I think, something like that. Anyway, I'm Thomas Towson. With me is my co-host and the same guy who's on every episode, Dan Knight. Equal parts Dan and equal parts Knight. Hello, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dan and Knight. But you got to have both parts of the cycle.
Now, okay.
My father was a knight.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was of an oval table. It was more ovular.
Mm. Wow.
In nature.
Not the round table.
No, he didn't make it in there. It was quite a long list of applicants, and he just didn't make the cut.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They didn't like the cut of his jib.
His jab, yeah.
When he punched them.
So we're going to do this thing that we do, because that's what we do every week.
We do that thing.
And
what is that thing that we do?
I think we talk about weird news.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Is that what we do?
You know, my memory is not as strong as it used to be last week. And
Who are you? Who am I?
I was from the Knight of the Oval Table.
Oh, Your Highness, I'm so sorry. I've forgotten. But this week, I don't know about for you.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't a bunch for me, so I'm just going to totally phone it in.
Okay.
But this is going to be the giant air quotes Thanksgiving episode. It's the last episode before Thanksgiving happens.
So we must give thanks
to Donald. Praise be unto him.
Yep, there it is.
And
everybody knows that, you know, in preparation for Thanksgiving, every Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
which is why we do the show on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday, we wake up extra early at approximately 1:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we do squat thrusts and prayer at the same time.
Squat prayer.
Yes. Yeah,
squat thrust. Thrusters.
Square. And we pray to Donald that he will deposit fudge into our mouth while we squat pray.
But if there's nuts in that.
But, oh yeah. If there's nuts in Donald's fudge nuggets that he drops into your mouth, then that means it's going to be a cold winter.
Or a warm one, Dan.
Yep.
Wait, what side am I on?
I like nuts. You like the nuts.
I do like nuts.
I like the nice, solid, unnutty loaves.
I feel like this isn't about fudge anymore. This is poop jokes.
Oh, no. I don't think we are that lowbrow, and I don't think the audience is going to assume.
We've never done anything like that before.
No. I mean, come on. Have some respect for yourself.
Well, here we go. Before we get right into the stories for this week, let me tell you what today is. It's Dan, this National Day might leave you a little salty. Oh, it's National Sardines Day.
Oh.
And just for fun, I decided to look up how one celebrates. Usually we make it up on the cuff.
Yeah.
And they're usually pretty straightforward or stupid. But I looked up how to celebrate National Sardine Day. Do you know how to celebrate National Sardine Day?
I wouldn't know where to start. No.
Of all the ones I could have looked up, this might have been the most boring and straightforward. It is literally the way to celebrate, eat sardines.
Wow.
And share them with your friends.
What a curveball. Not your family, though.
No, never.
They are undeserving.
They won't understand.
They don't understand your lifestyle.
They won't understand your habits and your holidays. Mom, you gotta try the mustard ones. They're really speaking to me right now.
Get out of my house! Who are you? You're no son of mine!
So, if you eat sardines, I guess do so today or something.
And never again. And wait until next year to eat them again.
So let's just go ahead and get right into it. Let's skip the meat and get right into the potatoes.
I don't know if that's what you do when you eat meat and potatoes in a meal.
Well, it's what we're doing now.
All right, it's going straight to the potatoes. So basically, I'm reading every third sentence.
Yeah, you know, what we've done is we've hit a high note with the meat.
Yeah.
Now it's all this stuff that follows
this
that.
Filler.
It's just potatoes.
Starch.
So, yeah, whatever.
So anyway,
yeah.
You know, it's been wildly known that ravens and crows are pretty intelligent birds.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, they I've seen videos and things of like and heard stories about like crows will sit at traffic lights and they can tell, you know, like when the light turns red, mm-hmm. they'll go down and they'll drop like nuts, like pistachios or whatever.
You know, like normal people do.
Like normal people in the street leaving yeah. nuts and then wait for the cars to run them over and break them open and then wait till it hits red again to go down and pick them up.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty neat.
That is.
You know that they can form friendships and remember faces?
I did not.
Yeah.
Friendships with humans, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. You can befriend a crow or a raven, and they'll remember faces.
You'll be a crow's best buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
tell me about a crow. Yeah, I feel like you're
I mean,
leading
I'm
up
I'm actually...
Something.
Crows are a side note in this story.
Also, ravens.
Ravens are not part of the story either.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, those annoying urban birds that you see in cities that like to poop on everything.
And they just make it a hoopla with their basketball and their uproars.
That's, I don't know if we're talking, you mean Big Bird?
Yeah.
He does play basketball. He's a very tall individual.
Yep.
No, pigeons. Iowa and California universities have created studies on the pigeon, and apparently they have quite a keen eye for detail. They apparently can differentiate between benign and malignant breast tissue based on viewing mammogram images.
Wow.
Which takes many doctors years to master.
And these birds here, they put you to shame.
They do.
PhD in
these dirty
boob-looking-ology.
What my parents call pigeons rats with wings.
Mm-hmm.
They are disgusting creatures, you know, to them.
Oh.
The birds prove to have a remarkable ability to distinguish benign from malignant human breast histopathology after training with differential food reinforcement, the study states. The study also stated that the birds are able to recollect and categorize over 1,800 separate images.
Wow.
So,
that's pretty solid. I'm impressed.
I can't do that.
I can't do that.
I can't remember 10 images. I don't remember what happened yesterday.
Who am I?
I don't know who you are.
This episode's full of amnesia.
Yeah. We don't know what's happening. So the kicker of all this, research over the past 50 years has shown that pigeons can distinguish identities and emotional expressions on human faces. So it's not just crows, I guess, that can do that. Letters of the alphabet, misshapen pharmaceutical capsules, and even paintings by Monet versus Picasso.
Wow.
Said Edward Wasserman, who is a professor of psychological and brain sciences.
Are they also wine snobs, and they only eat certain cheese with their wine?
Mm-hmm. And they
gargle it.
Yeah. I could totally imagine a crow gargling something. They sound like they do anyway. So the mammogram test involves showing the pigeons a slide of healthy or cancerous tissue and pecking a blue or yellow rectangle on the respective images. If they were correct, they would be rewarded with food to reinforce the behavior. Over the course of the trials, the accuracy of the pigeons went from 50% to an average of
84%.
Mm. And I think at one point they put four of them together, and they had a 99% accuracy.
Wow.
Because they were fighting for that food, you know?
That's impressive.
It's this one!
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah. So pigeons...
they're smarter than we've given them credit.
Yeah.
They might be smarter than I am.
I mean, you remember, I don't know, you grew up in the 90s. You probably are familiar with the Animaniacs.
Of course.
And the whole pigeons segment that was part of it.
Yeah.
You know, you had Pinky and the Brain, but then there was also the pigeons, which is much lesser known.
No, I'm familiar.
All the New York pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And they were intelligent.
Yeah.
Or at least the leader was. He was always... scheming.
He was a wise guy.
And then he had that big dopey friend.
Yeah.
Who, you know, I think it was probably like a Three Stooges kind of thing, wasn't it? Because there were three of them.
Yep. I think that was supposed to be what it was.
It was a take, and, a pigeon take on Three Stooges. I just put all that together just now.
Wow. You know what? Well, we're uncovering lost memories and mysteries.
I'm a Freakazoid man myself.
I love Freakazoid.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Yes. Absolutely love Freakazoid.
And that was the thing, like, with the Warner Brothers cartoons in the 90s, is like Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, and Freakazoid, like, they were all the same company, I believe.
Yep.
Or relatively, Warner Brothers. Yep. And, but they were so, I think they, like, started paving the road for, like, cartoons that were geared more towards, like, the adults as well as,
you know, the kids. Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of, those shows had a ton of, I struggle to even say hidden, but pretty apparent innuendo that went over kids' heads. And, you know, there was some surprising stuff now, having gone back and looked at some of the stuff.
You're like, oh, this wouldn't fly at today's standards.
Yeah, like the whole fingerprints thing. Do you know what that is?
What? No.
Yeah, so the Animaniacs, what's her name? What's the girl's name?
Dot.
Yeah, is holding Prince, you know, the singer Prince.
Oh, holding Prince.
Yeah. And
I think I see where this is
says
going.
Something along the lines of, like, we need to get fingerprints or something along those lines, and it's like her pan to screen, looking at the screen, shocked, says, I don't think so, and they both look at each other, her and Prince.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is risque.
Yeah, that's real stuff.
That's real. That's,
but, you know, I never noticed it as a kid, so.
Did he special guest on the episode?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it like one of those, like, the Janet Jackson video where it was her and the cat?
So probably not.
Oh.
Okay. It was a short bit joke.
Mm.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
Fingerprints. Okay, so let's move on. You know what this time of year is good for? Our Thanksgiving into, what's it called? Christmas spirit.
Hanukkah?
Yes, Hanukkah. That's the one I celebrate.
I knew it.
But right
You're
into
a
the,
closet Jewish person.
Right into the Christmas season
is
love and tolerance and happiness and just downright do-goodery. So these car thieves decided to get into the holiday spirit and do just that.
Oh.
Police say two car thieves made an unexpected stop after stealing a vehicle Wednesday morning. They dropped an 8-year-old boy off at school after they discovered him in the back seat. Norfolk police spokesman Daniel Hudson said the boy was sitting in his mother's car in her employer's parking lot when the men got inside. The keys were in the ignition. Hudson says the boy told police that the men asked them which school he attended and then took him there.
How generous.
I know, instead of just kicking him out on the curb or something, actually took him to school before stealing the car.
Got one last thing to do.
The mother called police after she returned to the parking lot and found the car and her son were missing. Police say they found the boy unharmed at school and the car was abandoned about 3 miles away. No arrests have been made. They say they just stole the car and were like, nah, I don't like this one.
This isn't a good fit for
it's
me.
It's not a good model.
Yeah. It's not as sporty as I thought it was going to be on the outside.
You know, if you're gonna steal a car and you find a kid in the back seat, taking him to school is pretty solid. You know, put him in a safe place. Take him to a safe place. You know, they're just looking to get a car, not looking to hurt any kids.
You know what? They could have been... Well, no kid wants to go to school, though. If they're having an unexpected adventure, the last thing they want to do is like, oh, I want to go to school.
Yeah,
they should have taken him to, like, Chuck E. Cheese, kicked him out, given him, like, $20. Hey, have fun.
Take him to a full day. Hit up the amusement park. Go do some skee ball. Head over to Chuck E. Cheese. Go buy him some presents, some toys, and then drop him off at his house. Break into the house. Tuck him into bed, and then steal the car.
And then break out of the house
and steal all the belongings and the car.
It's kind of like a weird Grinch kind of thing.
Yeah. It's definitely something like that. I feel like I've said this before many times, but this is yet another thing that could have made a great 80s movie.
Yeah.
You know, wacky hijinks with robbers, and they actually end up going on some sort of like Baby's Day Out sort of thing, but with a kid, and you know, end up being the good guys in the end, but then still stealing everything. And then feeling guilty at the end and returning it
and
all.
Donating all of the belongings to charity. So it's like this weird catch-22 where you're like, well, they kind of did a good deed.
They stole all my things and donated them.
I don't know what to think now.
Oh, that's the best. That would be the best criminal. Because what are you going to do? Are you going to complain? Like, oh, no, I need all my stuff back. And then you're taking back from charity.
Yeah. But if you were thieving, though, you should only take, like, the expensive stuff. So, like, all the regular stuff that people need, leave that. But take, like, a television or whatever and then donate it to, like, a nursing home or, like, go to, like, an orphanage. And here you go, kids. Here's a video game system.
This is a great idea for if you ever need to really get back at someone for being a real sticky mess, being a real jerk. Steal their belongings and then give them to charity anonymously. Nothing to link it back to you, and you can't get in trouble if they can't catch you, and it's all in charity, so then it puts them in an even worse position.
Yeah.
That's worse than just getting your stuff stolen.
What you should really do is find that friend of yours that you don't like, and basically give them, like, force feed them a bunch of Benadryl so that they're out cold for, like, a while, and then find the title of their car, forge their signature, and then sell it to a charity.
Wow.
Then they don't have a car anymore.
I like it.
Like Cars for Kids.
K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids.
It went to children. Children need to drive to work.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
They need to drive to kindergarten.
They need to drive to kid work.
Kid work. At the business factory. All right. So next, why don't you give me what you got?
The concept of working in a convenience store at night always evoked a sense of dread for me.
Yeah, that always sounded real unpleasant.
I know some people that have done it.
Yeah.
And I think that they are very brave people.
Uh-huh.
And it might be that I've just seen too many movies or TV shows or the news. But the thought of being robbed would always be on the forefront of my mind if I was ever working
definitely.
The graveyard shift. And my time spent in Florida, I couldn't think of a place scarier to be robbed at because of the locals and their quirks. That's what you want to call it. I'm happy to say that I'm not wrong in my views on the matter of both convenience store robberies and Florida.
Really? You got some substantiating evidence?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, give it to me.
In Jacksonville, Florida, a man walked into a convenience store on a Sunday at 5:30 holding a silver handgun. Mm-hmm. Scary scenario already.
Yep, so that's pretty standard. We're good.
The man, I think you might know who he is, actually. He's pretty famous.
Really?
I think most of us probably know who he is.
Wow. Who is he?
Darth Vader.
Oh, I know him. He was in that movie.
We don't talk anymore, but we used to be good friends.
Yeah.
Strolling into the store and demanding the clerk to relinquish money. The clerk was not apparently shaken with fear by seeing the intimidating force choker in the flesh, so...
Why did he need a gun if he's Darth Vader?
That's right. He could just use the force and choke him. Maybe he was just trying to be nice. But the clerk retaliated by throwing a jar of blue cheese at Vader.
Using the force.
Yeah.
He turned it back around on him.
He flipped it. He was a Jedi in disguise. And he threw a jar of blue cheese and it hit Vader in the face.
I like that while you're reading this, both you and I are doing the hand movement of the force, but we're on radio, so no one can see us do it.
Yeah.
Just imagine we're both, as he's doing this, just jutting
force
our
push.
Hand out forcefully. Yeah.
Apparently Vader's fallen on hard times.
Yeah, you know, ever since he...
Death Star blew up.
Yep, and spoilers, after he died...
He came back.
He's dead.
He needed money, though.
This must have been an imposter.
Oh, my God. You know what? You might be right. The man in the Vader costume was identified as Jacob...
As Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, my God.
Of Tatooine.
Of his actual... His name was Jar Jar... Beancase. No, his name was Jacob Jeremy Mercer.
Dingleheimer Smith.
Yes, that's exactly... Yeah, that's the rest of his name. Still bloody in the face from the dressing assault, he fled to his TIE interceptor. I mean, silver car.
To grab some buffalo wings.
So, yeah.
To go with the blue cheese.
The bloody blue cheese. Police were able to track him and eventually arrested Mercer. They noted he had several handguns and ammo in his backpack. And
just
also,
in case he ran out halfway. He's like, oh, how embarrassing. And goes out of his car and gets another
one. My extra weapon. And they also noted that his nose was bleeding. So he really chucked. And he had the Vader mask on. So, like, he really chucked that blue cheese.
Yeah,
probably broke the mask.
That's impressive. That's he's got the Force.
Truly. Always. That's what Obi-Wan always said to me.
Ooby-doo-kenobi? Is there a moral to get out of that? I don't think there is. I was trying to think where we could go with that, but just don't. Or
I think
do.
It's, we're just more...
There is no try. Boom! Nailed it.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. Let's move on to a particularly crazy man hailing from a faraway land called Utah.
Utah.
A Utah man accused of calling in a hospital bomb threat.
Oh, no.
Because he was upset he couldn't attend his child's birth is being charged in federal court.
Man.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Michael Morlang was indicted Wednesday and faces up to 10 years if convicted. The threat led to an evacuation and lockdown at the hospital in the small central Utah city of Richfield. Mm. His wife and her father told investigators the day of the incident that Morlang made the bomb threat because he was angry about not being there for the birth.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, that's... I mean, honestly, like, that's good on him. Like, he's devoted because, like,
yeah,
there are some fathers that weren't, that could care less.
At least this guy was willing to put in the effort to call in a bomb threat.
Yeah.
Which is...
To postpone the birth somehow.
Which had already happened.
Like, it's a
so,
show. Yeah.
It's like, well, it's a bomb threat. The safest place is to push it back in. We gotta start over later. We'll have time for newborns.
We can't fit it. You gotta put it in, keep it there. It's going to be safer.
The woman's father also told investigators that Morlang was upset because he heard his wife was going to have a procedure to prevent having more pregnancies.
Oh, the plot thickens.
It does. Morlang acted like he didn't know of a threat when he was reached by phone that day while on a bus back to Idaho. Richfield City Police investigators said in court documents. So they contacted him. He's like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm on a bus. I don't know anything about bombs. I'm a simple man from Utah.
Driving on buses.
They weren't able to touch base with him after that. He's currently, however, here's the thing that really just ties this whole chestnut up with a bow, as one does to chestnuts.
Yeah.
Morlang, this is all happening, Morlang is actually currently in custody in Idaho on an unrelated crime.
Wow.
So, bomb threat wasn't enough. He was, you know, he's in jail for something else entirely. But I want to go through the thought process on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we touched base on it lightly. But why would you call in a bomb threat? Why would that be the way you'd react to not being there for your child's birth? Wouldn't you, like... I mean, let's say an irrational person would go and maybe cause some physical harm, go punch a mirror, I don't know, cause a bar fight or something. Yeah, who knows? Why would you call in a bomb threat to the hospital where your baby was just born? Regardless of being upset about not being there, that's where your family is and your newly born child is there. So let's call in a bomb threat and freak everybody out. And ruin everyone's time.
Logically, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
So that's the moral of that story, is do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay because you'll get arrested for something else.
Clear.
What? I don't know. It's weak at best. But I really like this news story because it just takes a 180.
Yeah,
he's upset about something and he does something completely nonsense.
Yeah.
So,
well, he could, like, throw fish at the building or something.
Yeah, there you go. That's That's what. Well, that's a normal response, though.
Is it?
That wouldn't have been a good story because that's what people typically do.
I missed the pregnancy. He's just throwing these giant fish into the windows.
Okay, you got one more for us this week.
I do.
Do.
A lady from central Pennsylvania is accused of running a prostitution service out of her home.
Hmm. That sounds fancy. A prostitution. Not
to be confused with a brostitution ring, where a bunch of bro dudes get together and they talk football and have man love with each other.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Great.
But she says she only charged for massages and that any sex that happened after the fact was simply, quote, free fun.
Yeah, that's how that... Yep.
Posting ads claiming massage and stress relief.
Bleh.
She charged clients $50 for the massages, but never solicited for sex.
Wait, where is this?
Oh, this is in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania.
$50.
$50.
For $50. Hear me out, all right? So, for $50, you could get a massage and a happy ending.
Yeah.
That was a bundled price.
Yeah.
For $50.
Very reasonable, right?
That's less than the cost of a normal massage. They're like $60, typically. Mm-hmm. That is a fantastic deal.
And
honestly,
you don't even have to take her out to dinner.
She's a great businesswoman. She's cutting prices and offering a strategic edge up mm-hmm. from every other
from all those other massage parlors that get offended when you proposition them
for
extra
happy
features,
ending, yeah.
For DLC. A 32-year-old Crystal Swigart faces a preliminary hearing on charges of operating illegally.
Yeah.
So it's not even, I don't know, it seems like that's not even for prostitution. It's just like, your massage business is illegally operated.
Yeah, it's probably one of those things where they couldn't pin it on her, so they're just trying to take her down for something else.
Yeah. For having fun? Come on, guys. Let sleeping dogs
ridiculous
lie with each other.
I mean, really, can we just get back to the $50? That is a ridiculously good price.
What a deal.
Like, that is less than a regular massage. I can't get over that. Usually...
Well, she's amateurish, probably.
Yeah,
that's
I guess.
Why it's
but
know,
usually they end up finding these places because it's like, 1 hour massage, $300. And it's like, okay, all right, what's going on over here?
Didn't we do an... we did an article a while back where it was about a hairdressers?
Yep.
That also did something along the same lines?
You could go in nude. Or they would,
they would
they
be
would,
nude.
Yeah, they were nude.
But then there was also
some sexy stuff going on in the back.
So $50 is a great deal.
Yeah, that's...
Unfortunately, yeah, I don't think there's going to be much of that going on anymore.
She will rebuild.
Yeah.
That's something. $50, though.
Well,
you know?
Swigart, she shot back. She said that she's an open-minded sexual person who connected with men who were unfulfilled.
Man.
But it's looking grim, however, that she will get her recommended dosage of fun in the days ahead.
And it was only worth $50 to her.
$50 fun.
Wow. All right, anyway. Great. Good for her or something. Good for people. I don't know. Whatever. Do what you want. Whatever makes
consenting
you happy.
Consenting adults, what can you do?
Yeah. Whatever makes you happy. Okay, let's do one last one that is just off the deep end crazy. Not well,
off
not
the
that
rails.
Crazy, but it's wacky.
Yeah.
Dan, have you ever heard of a little old place called Florida?
What?
You may have just talked about it recently.
I may have. I'm not sure. My amnesia is kicking up again.
It's America's little old man Wang. At the bottom.
It's an old man Wang?
Yeah, you know, it's all kind of like crinkly and crusty looking.
Like a Ruffles potato chip.
Yeah, and it just sort of like limply hangs. Anyway.
One of those weird pickles.
Yeah, like a gherkin.
You know, you don't want to eat it because it's too small.
Yeah, that's what she said. A Florida man, accused of exposing himself in a women's restroom.
Ooh.
Told officers he was simply trying to remove an insect from his clothing.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. Yeah. Lorenzo, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's start that way, all right? Let's just believe him for a second.
Okay.
Lorenzo Adan Ramirez was arrested Tuesday, one day after a woman reported being the victim of a flasher at Laurel Manor Recreation Center in the Villages, Florida. So, some lady complained that she was flashed, and the next day he was arrested. Ramirez told deputies he was doing landscaping in the area when a bug got onto his clothing. The suspect said he went to a restroom to get the insect out and mistakenly chose a public restroom designated for women, not men. All right, so this sounds ridiculous. Like, it's such a
there's so many cop-out. Yeah.
But at the same time, let's give him benefit of the doubt. Let's just say, you know, this is some wacky coincidence. I don't know how this happened. Let's read on, shall we?
Okay.
Ramirez also, so this is after this happened, Ramirez happens to also fit the description of a man accused of exposing himself in the same restroom days earlier. Oh, but there's more. In addition,
oh my God,
Ramirez was also arrested in January 2012. For allegedly trying to take an upskirt video of a woman while she was renting a movie at Walmart.
He was taking a picture of a bug that got out of his clothes and was trying to crawl into hers.
Specifically onto her undergarments. It was a very aggressive underwear bug. Yeah.
Underwear bug. Oh, those are the worst.
Yep. You know, they're feisty.
I think those are called crabs, is what those are, underwear bugs.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
If I know anything.
So he was a wildlife enthusiast.
Ramirez was arrested on two counts of voyeurism and taken to the Lake County Jail, and then he was released after posting $2,000 bond.
Hey.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
He probably made all that money taking upskirt videos, so he's like, oh, I'll just use my video money that I made.
As long as you make money doing your... The moral of this story is very obvious. No matter...
Do what you love.
Exactly. Do what you love, and as long as you're making enough money, you can never get in trouble.
I think that's probably exactly right, Peach. I have, though, a personal story here. I'll throw out one.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait how this relates.
I don't know if you have. I've actually accidentally stumbled into a women's restroom before.
No, I haven't.
And I've gotten so far as to, okay, so here's what happened. I was in a movie theater with some friends, and the men's room sign, I don't know, I got confused.
The old butter popcorn they were on, gag went too far, and you had to go to the bathroom and clean up.
I saw the men's room sign, and it was pointing in a direction. Okay. So I went around the corner, and I just went into the restroom. There was no other, like, icon above the door. So I was like, oh, this is the men's room. It was the women's room. Apparently, there was a lady. She was hanging out outside of the restroom area, like, outside the door. I go in, and I saw a little girl in there. And I was like, see, that's the thing. Like, you've been in restrooms before. Like, parents will bring, like, I've seen a dad bring his little girl into a men's room and vice versa. So I'm like, oh, the dad must
be here.
A little
girl bring her dad into a...
Yeah, brings her father into a men's room. So I go into this. I didn't notice there were no urinals. I wasn't paying attention. So I was like, oh, I'll go into the stall. And I'm like, what's this weird little box here that's above the toilet? That's weird. That's new.
Uh-huh.
That's a new thing. And then I hear the mom from the hallway. She's like, hey, honey. And the little girl's like, yeah. Why don't you finish? You gonna come out now? Like, she saw me go in.
Oh, no.
I was like, and my eyes went wide with terror. And I'm like, I need to leave here now. I need to leave here right now. And when I got out there, all my friends were laughing hysterically at
me. Did you at least...
Like, you fool.
Did you at least use the restroom?
Okay,
good.
It was an urgent situation. I had to. I was like, I'm already here. I might as well do what I came to do.
Gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
That's
so
right.
Even if it scares little girls and their mothers.
And their mothers.
So
that was a terrible situation. So
it
does happen, but when somebody does it multiple times...
Then it's not an accident.
It's not. I can't imagine it's an accident at that
and
point.
And you didn't say that you had a bug on you. And that's why you needed to get naked in the middle of it.
Yeah, I need to go in. Yeah, there were no bugs.
Well, on that note,
Yeah.
On that lovely child scaring note.
mother scaring.
We're going to conclude this week's episode. And Dan, you know what's coming up next week is... we're going to hit a nice round number. We're hitting episode 40.
That's right.
40 episodes. And that's pretty exciting. I can't wait. So... probably nothing planned. Definitely nothing planned.
Ooh.
Absolutely nothing planned. But it's
is
pretty
there
cool
nothing planned?
There's nothing planned. But
I don't know if you're like driving at home that nothing's planned, or if you're planning something.
That's just something you're gonna have to be disappointed by, on next week to find out.
I'll plan on you not planning.
That's correct. So that is gonna wrap it up, folks. That's all for this week.
And remember. According to Roto-Rooter, the nation's largest plumbing service, Black Friday is the busiest day of the year for plumbers because, well, you do the math.
Thanks for joining us. That's a poop joke!
A chick-a-boom, chick-a-boom, chick-a-booty-booty-boom.